Most of them didn't know freedom, but they were experiencing something new for the first time. And I thought how it was in my life years ago when I experienced and found Jesus Christ. I'm talking about, you know, found Jesus. I didn't find religion. I didn't find a church. I didn't find a community. I found Jesus. And then all the rest of it comes with that. And I thought about the freedom that I had from the bondage of sin that I had been under all my life. You know, that's all I knew was this lifetime of sin and turmoil and ungodliness in the world. And that's all I'd known. And all of a sudden, I experienced a new freedom through Jesus that I'd never known before. It was just like, you know, my eyes were open for the first time. I'm seeing light instead of darkness. I've got joy instead of sadness. And I thought what an important thing it is that we remember and understand about the freedom that God has given us. And through that, we can understand and know the miracles that God still does today. I've come today to declare in God a God of miracles. Amen. A lot of times, you know, we say, well, we don't see miracles anymore. Well, you know, I went out and looked out a minute ago, and I couldn't see the sun, but it was there. I guarantee you it's up there. Just because I can't see it don't mean it's not there. Somebody's looking on it. Somebody's seeing the sunshine. And I thought about that as the miracles go, that we may not see it, but other people could see the miracles of God that He does each and every day. I tell you, it was a miracle the day He saved me. Freedom. I'm talking about freedom from sin. Freedom to live a life and worship and praise an Almighty God. Eyes open for the first time. Seeing daylight. Seeing light and brightness instead of darkness. And I thought what a privilege it would be for somebody here today to come to that light. To come to that source of light through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to talk just a few minutes. Look back in the Old Testament. If you will. To the book of Joshua. And I want to start in chapter 3, Joshua chapter 3. I'm going to talk some about the miracles of God, showing a people and encouraging them. They had came out of bondage. They were experiencing freedom for the first time. And God began to show them miracle after miracle after miracle that they be encouraged and keep moving ahead. They were young in this freedom. You know, they were just experiencing and they needed something to encourage them and keep them moving ahead and moving forward. So when we start looking at how God dealt with His children in that day and time, and we've got the same God, served the same one, and He hadn't changed, and I think about how many times in life He sent something in our lifetime to just encourage us, to uplift us, to let us know, don't quit, don't give up, don't stop short. And we'll get into that in a little while. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 14. Now, God gave them a plan. He said, I'm going to let you cross Jordan. You're going to cross it on dry land. And I got thinking about, you know, the trust and the faith that these people had in God, because when they looked at it, Jordan, it was overflowing. It was out of banks, you know. It was a great big river. And God's telling them, said, you're going to cross on dry ground. And I thought about the faith they had to plan to cross on dry ground. I don't believe any of them came out in rubber boots or chest waders thinking they're going to have to make their... I don't believe any of them was trying to find a boat because they believed God. You know, in this day and time, we need to believe God, that God's going to do what God says He will do. When God promises, you're going to get it. And so, if He tells me that I'm going to cross over on dry land, I expect it to be dry land. And so, when God gave them the plan, and in chapter 3 and verse 14, and it came to pass when their people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come into Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zetaron, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And I got thinking about God piling the water up, you know, just stopping it. It couldn't come anymore, so it began to pile up, began to heap up. And these children of Israel could see this power of God being demonstrated. And as they began to cross, I don't believe they had any fear. If God can stop the river and dam up the water for you, I wouldn't worry about walking through it, would y'all? And I don't believe that's out there trying to find a boat or wearing mud shoes or rubber boots because they had believed God. I want to preach this morning that we believe God in all situations of life, whether they be good, whether they be bad. God is in control of us if we'll allow Him to do that. And so here they go across Jordan. They're experiencing a freedom that they'd never had before. Down in Egypt, they told them what to do. They told them what to wear. They told them what they could eat. They told them when to work. They told them when they could rest. Now, they've got a freedom to do as they please, and God is pointing them toward a promised land. He said that I'm going to give you. I love this promised land thing. You know, it's kind of like our promise that we've got from God. There's a promised land for us, and I could preach heaven, but I'm going to tell you there's a promised land here, even in this life, on this earth, if we're obedient to what God wants us to do. They're going to find riches and wealth even on this earth. And so it goes down in verse 17, and the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. I want to stop about halfway through. I want to bring this point out to you. What did the priests do? Now, these priests are the ones that was bearing the Ark of the Covenant. These priests are the ones that represented or handled the Word of God at that time. And so what did they do? It said they stood firm on dry ground. And I got thinking about this morning about the priests standing firm on dry ground. And I thought, what difference would make in this world if we had all the preachers, all the elders of the churches, all the teachers of the churches standing firm on dry ground? Praise God that they're ready to stand. You know, this is a world this day and time that they're preaching and teaching everything except Jesus Christ, and we know He is the answer for the problem. I'm not talking about getting religious. I'm not talking about the church or the community you live in or the family. I'm talking about trusting Jesus. He's the one. And so when I read about these priests standing firm, they were giving the example to the rest of the people. They looked at them and said, boy, they're standing firm out there on dry ground. Let's follow. And it said they stood firm in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Every one of them passed over into Jordan. Problem solved, right? Problem over. Jordan was a barrier to hinder them from claiming what God had promised them. So God took the barrier out of the way. What barrier would hinder us today from claiming what God promised us? You know, we have a promise from God. We can go into eternal life and get excited about that. But I'm telling you, we've got a promise for this lifetime also that God says you can have peace. God says you can have joy and many other things. And so what would hinder us, what barrier would separate us from where we are today to where God plans for us to be when this thing's over? I believe we're winding it down, don't y'all? And I want to be in the right spot when it's over. In the right place, in the right frame of mind, in the right heart. When this thing's over. And to do that, we're going to have to persist. We're going to have to continue doing what God asks us to do. In chapter 4, this goes about illustrating about what we carry over, about what we show. And this is going to be for their children and their children's children. In other words, generation forward, to see and remind them that God has worked miracles in their life. Have you ever stopped lately just to talk and tell somebody, let me tell you what God's done for me? You know, there's a lot of ways to start a conversation with somebody. I tried that the other day. It's not too successful always. I told a young man, I said, if you got a minute, let me tell you what God's done in my life. He said, I'm busy. He didn't have a minute. He didn't want to hear that. You know why? Because he was convicted when I spoke to him. I believe the power of the Holy Spirit touched his heart and mind. All he had in mind was get out. Get out, you know, get out of here. Get out of here. You can run, but you can't hide. I didn't get to tell him, but somebody will. in chapter 4 and verse 1, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command you them that saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. And so it goes farther, and Joshua calls them in, and down in verse 5, and Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord under your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean you by these stones? In verse 7, then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Forever. It wasn't going to change. He said, I want these stones. I want you to get them up, put them up on your shoulder, however you can carry them out, bring them out, put them in your camp. When your children ask about what are these stones, just what does this mean? You know, just what does this mean? It's for a memorial to remind them that God did a great miracle and a great work for the children of Israel when he stopped the River Jordan. And I thought about, you know, what have we got for a memorial in our homes, in our place of work, or wherever we might be and come in contact with people? What would they see that would remind them that we've had a miracle in our life? You know, if I come to visit your house, what am I going to see? What have you got in your house that when your children come in that might attract their attention and say, what's this about? Why is this here? That you might relate to them what God had done in your life and the miracle he had worked and the times he had brought you through when it was beyond your power. What would be something good to put in our homes? Maybe a cross. That works pretty good. A lot of people won't look on the cross, too much power. Scares them. But I thought about these folks sitting around the camp and these children asking, what are these rocks doing in here? What you got all these rocks piled up in here for? What's this about? And could you imagine the opportunity that gave some of the daddies and some of the elders of Israel to stand up and say, that's when he brought us across the river. That's when he brought us to the promised land. That's when we made our first steps into the promise that God gave us of a better life and a better land. And I'd like us to have memorials that we could set up that we might tell our children and our children's children about Jesus. That, let me tell you about this. You know, Jesus saved my soul. It was Jesus that did the work on the cross of Calvary. I didn't have to do anything except accept it and believe it. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. Now, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. You shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend every man straight up before him. God gives the plan. I want you to understand, God gives the plan. And you know, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, well, why didn't he do it on the first day? Why is it going to take these 7 days? But that's because God said it's going to take 7 days. That we need to learn patience through this, that God don't always do things at our moment and our time, but he does it at his time. There's things that I want to see happen, and I think a lot of time, God, I don't understand why hadn't this taken place, because maybe it's not God's time yet. Maybe, you know, Jim wants it, but God's not ready to give it to us yet. And so when I got to reading about it, he said, I want you to go around the city 6 days, one time, 6 days. Go around the city. Go around the city. And then he said, on the seventh day, I want you to go around it seven times, then blow the horns and shout, and the city will fall flat. The walls of the city is going to fall down. And I thought about God's plan. Are we carrying out God's plan for our life? If he told us that he wanted us to go this thing six times and then seven times on the seventh day, would we get tired after three or four and quit? Or maybe sit down? I'm going to tell you, what do you think would happen if the children of Israel said, well, I know what God said, but let's modify that to suit us better. Now, there's been a modification of God and his word by the people for many, many years. What suits us better? I thought about this the other day. You know, I see a trend this day and time. The trend is, it used to be that you had Sunday morning and Sunday night service and drop Wednesday night. But now the trend is that you have Sunday morning service and drop everything else, because that's what's convenient for people. Church and Christian life's not always about our convenience. It's about service to God. It's about serving and praising him. And I got thinking, well, what if these people decided, well, let's just go three times and then blow the horns? I don't believe anything would happen to you, because God made his plan clear. Now, I want you to understand that we're in this thing about accomplishing what God would have us to accomplish. We're in this thing very deeply about toward the second coming of the Lord. Don't stop short. Don't quit early. If God says make the trips and make the six times and then seven on 7 days, just keep walking. Just keep moving forward. God will accomplish what he said. When they made the seven trips on the seventh day and blowed the horns and shouted the shout, the walls fell flat. So if you're in this thing two or three trips around the city maybe, or four or five maybe around the city, according to age, a lot of us in different stages, don't quit, don't give up, don't stop short, because there's a victory for us to win. It's when the Lord steps out and he'll blow his horn. Amen. In verse 20, so the people shouted with when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell flat down, so the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They did it according to God's plan. Priests standing firm. There's a great need for that today. I guess I fail to do this quite often, but I need y'all to pray for me. There's always a temptation to do something because it's convenient. There's always a temptation to do something that seems justified by the world. Understand, if it's not according to God's word, we don't need it. And I need your prayers. I need us to pray for all the pastors that's standing in the pulpits this morning, that they might stand firm also, that we be a people of understanding and knowledge about Jesus Christ and the power of God. We're going to need that in the days to come. I'm going to close right there. Good to see everybody come this way. We do have a lot of sick folks. There are a lot of people out sick with problems. Continue to pray for them. I'm not going to try to name all of them, but be sure to pray for them. Y'all stand. We'll be dismissed.